Hello, my name is Jeff Hajek. I'm the author of What Do You Mean I Gotta Be Lean? And the owner of Relaxing Continuous Improvement. I also put out a blog semi-regularly called Gotta Go Lean. And in it, I try to give out different ideas and just my basic thoughts about what I observe in the real world about lean. So I've been putting this blog out, and what I realize is I'm a little long-winded. I feel like I have a lot to say, and my blogs tend to get longer and longer and longer. It's great for having that content available, but I recognize that most of my listeners, or readers, are very busy. So to actually go and read these long articles might take a bit more time than they're willing to commit. So what I'm trying to do is find a way to meet the needs of my audience in a way that suits their lifestyles a little better. So what that led me to do is look into doing podcasts. And what I'm hoping to gain from this is to be able to put a little bit of lean information in a way that person can listen to on their iPod at the gym or in the car on the way to work. And it may be a little bit more of a step to actually put it on a CD, but I know a lot of cars nowadays do have ports for iPods. So we'll try this out and see how it works and see what you have to say for me. The other reason I like to do it is I'm kind of a technophile. I love different types of equipment. I've been reading a book called, the book is actually called Podcasting Bible, and it's by Steve Mack and Mitch Ratcliffe. And I got a lot of different pictures of really cool audio equipment in there. So I've been looking through it and thinking about the stuff I would need to put together a really high quality podcast. So as you listen to this one, I'm really a rookie at doing this piece of it. A big part of this is that I'm talking without a script. I have some notes. I've done a lot of recording of other types of information, and that's more scripted and it's much more polished than you're going to find in my podcast. The podcasts really are just a way for me to just talk to you. And one of the things I'm finding is that this is when I have the most fun about lean. I met a guy in a Starbucks. It was really crowded, so I just ended up sitting down at a table. I asked him if it was okay to share the table with him because every other seat was taken. And I'd planned on writing some things on how to redo my front, my homepage for my website. And I just started talking to him about his business and how they do training in his business. And what I found is that I kept gravitating toward, oh, lean's a great solution for that. Lean's a great solution for this, and the different things we were talking about. So what I find is I really love talking about lean. And that's really, this podcast is an outlet for me to be able to do that. So when I say lean, I use it really interchangeably with continuous improvement. And in fact, my company's name is Relaxing Continuous Improvement. I tried to stay away from lean for the simple fact that lean is not going to be here in 10 or 20 years or 50 years or whenever it changes into something else. And that's just the way life works, as things move on. But there's always going to be a drive and a desire for things to get better. And you've seen it since the Stone Ages. You've seen people starting to, the early man learned how to chip a piece of rock into a scraper. And then the wheel was invented and chariots and domesticating animals. Life is all about making things better. Now, as we get more and more refined, we get better tools to this. So you'll see pieces of software that, the Excel spreadsheet has made lean very possible because of all the power it has on it. So what I've found is that there's things in continuous improvement that really overlap in different philosophies. So when you think about Six Sigma, most people look at it as big projects, highly sophisticated, numbers-based. And lean people look at it as a much quicker, more qualitative type of tool. But a lot of the tools do overlap. You'll see Pareto charts in both of them. You'll see cause and effect diagrams. Even the general process of a Kaizen, the DMAIC process, or Divine, Measure, Analyze, Improve, Control in Six Sigma, corresponds very closely to what you would do in a Kaizen. You go through and you start your Kaizen with an analysis of what you need to change. A lot of people call it a process walk or a waste walk, and they'll go through and take a look at the current condition. But even before that, the defined stage is the chartering process. So there's a lot of a close analogy between the two different systems. So I look at it more like a scale, and everything's continuous improvement. It's all about making things better. So that's just my thoughts on when I talk about lean, I'm really saying continuous improvement. A big part of a company's success at continuous improvement comes from having a culture that supports it. And you'll hear things called a lean culture or a continuous improvement culture, something of that nature. But it's a little vague about what it really means. So I'll step back and ask you to take a look at how you manage your own lifestyle. There's a lot of things you do in your own life that can indicate whether you have a continuous improvement attitude. So when you go around and look at your house, do you try to find ways to do things better all the time? Are you constantly looking for a new way to vacuum quicker? And you go out and look at the Roomba, or do you start picking cords up off the floor so you don't have to move them around when you're vacuuming? If you find yourself doing those sorts of things, you really have an embedded desire to get better at things. So you have the right mentality to fit in a continuous improvement culture. So a big part of getting that culture is to have the right people in it. So in many cases, when you're hiring new people, you want to get people that will fit into a continuous improvement culture. However, most often, companies make a transition to lean, and they've already had most of their staff hired. So it's not as easy to go and select the right people when you already have your own company that's already been formed. So there's a little bit of a different approach there. You have to get people and start bringing out the right mentality. And that comes from two things. And the first is strong leadership. And you'll hear frequently that lean starts with leadership. If you don't have leadership commitment, it's very hard to get lean to take off in a way that's going to be highly successful for the company. Individual managers can make lean successful in small pockets, but the overall company is not going to really thrive in a lean with lean goals until you have executives and people at the C-level who really get it and understand that there's a lot of cost involved, and that lean is a long-term commitment. It's not going to deliver results overnight in most cases. You'll get small pockets of results, but to get a big change in things, it takes a long time. In fact, Toyota's commonly, there's a lot of talk about Toyota being this, they're the example that people point to when they're talking about the success of the lean system. And Toyota consistently says that they're just starting the journey. They don't feel like they're done with it. And even though they're this example that everybody points to, they still feel like they have a long way to go. And a lot of that comes from the leadership. And the leadership has this perfection-seeking mentality, even though they know that they're never going to get there. That's a big part of that lean culture, is having that strong leadership. But the other part of it is, when you have a staff that's already present, is developing this sense of what's in it for them. Now, I'm most familiar with the American culture. I lived in Germany for several years and got a feel for the culture over there. So I have a little understanding of, cultural differences cultural differences have a big impact on how you give advice about building something like a continuous improvement mentality. But in the U.S., at least, there's a big feeling of what's in it for me. And people need to be committed to a culture for it to be really effective. So one of the things that you look at as a leader is to understand, what do you give people and what can they get out of lean to make it really good for them? And if it's really good for them, they're going to be more bought into it. And if they're bought into it, it's going to provide better returns for the company. So there's a lot to be said for making sure that you deliver lean not only to shareholders, but also to the employees. Now, employees also have a responsibility to take a look at lean and find the pieces of it that work and really focus on those pieces. Now, one of the nice things about lean is you don't have to be great at every piece of it. What you really have to do is find the tools that work for you, and you get better in those areas, and you'll still make progress overall. And that brings me to one of the final points I want to make in this first opening podcast that I'm doing. And it's really talking about the lean system versus the lean tools and making sure you don't get confused about the two. Lean tools are all going to go away and change over the years. The things that work today are going to be antiquated down the road. So when you look at a Kanban system works because it's the best thing that's available right now. But nobody knows what's going to be around in 20 years or 30 years or 50 years. And at that point, the Kanban system may be a dinosaur. There's going to be something that's going to replace it that's more visual, that somebody comes up with a great idea. And Kanbans are no longer going to be the thing that helps us control our inventory. And what that really leans, or what really leads you down the path of, is understanding that it's a system. It's the way of thinking about solving problems and coming up with a way that promotes flow and reduces waste. It's the systems that really drive lean, and the tools are just a methodology. And I make a point, and I can't even remember where I did it, but in one of my writings I talked about it, that you know, you wouldn't want to go to a doctor that is an expert at a scalpel. You want a doctor who's an expert at like healing people. You don't want somebody who's just good with a tool. You want somebody who has a big picture mentality and can look at the right thing for the right job and isn't latched on and isn't focused on a particular methodology. What you want is somebody who has the right set of principles and really fits into that culture that we've been talking about. So I'm just going to wrap it up with this today and see how this goes over. A big part of what I'm looking for from you is feedback. And really, anything's fair game. I just want to hear what you think about the style of my talking, whether you want something more focused, because I'm trying to get away from doing this as a specific training course. This is more just talking about lean, trying to promote ideas to you. I'm not going to go back and do a lot of editing on this one. I figure this is free, and it's just a way of you getting some ideas about lean. So I'm just going to try and do a little bit of polishing on it. But my goal is to be able to get some things out as I think about them and get those out quickly to you. Right now, this podcasting is a learning process for me. I'm trying to figure out how to do it well. So again, anything you can tell me will be very helpful. And share it with other people. If you like what I have to say and you think somebody else can benefit from it, send them the file, send them the link to the site where you downloaded it at Gotta Go Lean. It's also on velaction.com, or you can even find it by going to jeffhajek.com. And all these different ways will get you to the same location. So anyway, I'm going to wrap up right here and just say thank you. I really appreciate you listening to what I had to say, and I look forward to being able to get more out to you in the future.